Welcome, welcome to the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm Justin Bader, your host, and this is episode 95, Giving People Grace Without Letting Students Down. I wanted to focus on this topic because I've been hearing a lot of challenges and a lot of dilemmas lately among principals who want to uphold high standards, who want to make sure that we're doing right by kids, but who are encountering various dilemmas or various forms of pushback or even challenging behaviors from teachers. So I wanted to address a couple of specific scenarios because chances are good that even if you don't face these exact scenarios, you're going to face some kind of similar dilemmas. So I wanted to share a bit of an ethical and professional decision-making framework for dealing with some of these challenges. So let's jump right in and talk about how we can give teachers grace and show understanding without violating our commitments to students. I think two big ideas that underpin what we're going to talk about in this episode are the idea that good enough is good enough. We do not have to hold people to ridiculous, unrealistic, perfectionistic standards. We can do right by our students while also giving grace to our staff. And number two, on the other hand, professional ethics don't go out the window just because we're in a pandemic. And I think both of those things can be true. But I wanted to address this because I'm hearing from a lot of people who don't seem to think that we can do both of those at the same time, that we can have grace for people, that we can be understanding, that we can be flexible, and yet also still have ethical standards and do the right thing and not get ourselves into situations where teachers are doing things that we can't defend and we're in this kind of difficult position with the community. So these are tricky issues. I'd love to know what you think. Please leave a comment and let me know. But let's jump right in with a big idea about the idea of just working harder. I think this is where we tend to default in our efforts as educators. We tend to think, well, if a job needs to be done, if a problem needs to be solved, if students need to learn, if there's some barrier to student learning, we will just jump right in and work really hard until it's fixed. And the reality is that in a pandemic, when your students are not able to be on campus, for example, that the reality is we're just not going to be able to get the results we want, no matter what we do. And that doesn't mean that we do nothing. It doesn't mean we stop trying. It doesn't mean we start phoning it in, but it does mean that we let ourselves off the hook for doing the impossible. Because if we try to do what is truly impossible, we will burn out, and that's not helpful for anyone. So what can we do? What is the right way to proceed? First of all, I think we need to be very clear with our very conscientious, perfectionistic type of people. And I know many of them probably work in your school. You may be this person who responds to conditions that aren't ideal and responds to uncertainty by simply working harder and maybe trying to control what they can control, even if it's not actually a very useful thing to control. You know, sometimes people just work harder and harder to do what they can, even if that's not really going to benefit students. And I see people burning themselves out and really causing incredible levels of stress that are unhealthy and unhelpful. So I think as leaders, what we have to do when we see that happening among our staff is we have to step in and say, you know what, I really appreciate your hard work, but it is okay for you to take it a little bit slower. You do not have to be busting your tail the way you are. There are things that we can do that will make a difference, and there are things that are beyond our control, and I think we just need to accept that. Please don't kill yourself trying to do the impossible and close the gaps that simply can't be closed right now in terms of what our students need. You know, no matter how good your lesson plan is, it will not solve a problem for a kid who can't get a Wi-Fi or cell signal at their house. I mean, just the reality is there are some fundamental limitations, and overwork will not eliminate those limitations. I think we need to really tell people that, because when they hear it, they'll say, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But in people's minds right now, I promise you, you have teachers who are thinking, if I just work hard enough, that will fix this. And of course, they don't say it out loud. If they did, they would realize how ridiculous it sounds. So you've got to be the one as a leader to say, look, slow it down. You are okay. We are going to do what we can do. And I want to give you a specific framework for expressing that. How can we do what we can without trying to do the impossible? Back on episode 75 of the Instructional Leadership Show, I introduced an idea called Pareto satisficing. And that's a combination of two ideas from the organizational decision-making literature, which was a big part of my doctoral work. The Pareto principle is the idea of an 80-20 rule, or the idea that 80% of our efforts are only responsible for 20% of our results, and 20% of our efforts are responsible for 80% of our results. In other words, we need to prioritize. We need to do the things that make the biggest difference and not try to do every little thing that we've ever done and try to check off a long list of things. Because the reality is, right now, many of those things just don't matter that much. There are some big things that matter a lot and a lot of little things that we can let go of. And we've got to give people permission to let go of all those little things and not be so perfectionistic and conscientious about all those little things that really aren't going to make that much of a difference. Satisficing, the second idea, is the idea that good enough is good enough, right? That we don't need to be perfectionists, that we don't need to check off every box and do everything to the nth degree. You know, good enough is good enough. And that's especially true when the conditions are just in general so bad for teaching and learning. You know, just when the reality that we're dealing with is so bad that it's going to swamp any kind of additional benefit to that last 1% of improvement that a teacher could perhaps get by putting in 10% more effort. Like, there's a diminishing return to additional effort. So we've really got to give people explicit permission to prioritize and to say good enough is good enough. In episode 75, we also talked about this graphically. You might have seen this 80-20 graphic. The idea that if we can find what's producing the biggest impact, it's going to be just a little bit of what we're doing. It's going to have an outsized impact, and we prioritize that, and we figure out all the other stuff that's sucking up our time, that's proving difficult, that's causing stress. If we can eliminate some of that 80% of effort that's not producing much in the way of results, then that's going to make everybody's job much easier, and this is not slacking. This is not cutting corners. This is prioritizing. So I don't know what that is for your school. I don't know what that is for your teachers, but I think having that conversation and saying, what's going to make the biggest difference for you and your students is a conversation worth having. We also talked about the idea of Parkinson's Law back in episode 82, the idea that people will burn out if they are able to work all of the time. And because of the realities of working from home and teaching remotely, it's now more possible than ever. It's always been somewhat possible, but it's now more possible than ever for people to just kind of work nonstop and to not really have good, healthy boundaries on their school day. You know, a lot of people only do their schoolwork when they're at school. They stay late, they get all their work done, they go home, and they're at home. They're not working in the evenings. You know, you might have seen people like that just, you know, work till 5 or 6 every day in the building in a normal school year. Well, now they don't have that go home kind of boundary. And it's tempting for the work to just kind of creep in to more and more hours of the day and night and the weekend. So a 6-step process that I shared with you back on episode 82 of the Instructional Leadership Show, which you'll find in your member dashboard, is to first set a quitting time. Say, I'm only going to work till 5. I'm only going to work till 4:42, whatever it is. And then make a list of what needs to get done in that time. Prioritize it. Do it in order. Do the most important thing first. Adjust your effort as you go. So if you realize, oh, I thought I was going to get these 6 things done, it's actually only going to be 4 of them. Get the most important ones done. And then most importantly, quit when you are out of time. You've got to set that time boundary. Teachers have to set that time boundary, or else this job will eat us all alive. It'll eat you alive as a leader, and it'll eat your teachers alive, because nothing is enough, right? There is no amount of effort that is going to make student learning perfect this year. So we've got to be the ones to set boundaries so that the work does not consume us and we are around to serve another day, to be there for our students. Now, there's another dimension to what I'm seeing happening in the profession, and that it comes kind of from a different place, not from a place of perfectionism and from a place of conscientiousness and wanting to do everything we possibly can. I'm seeing from a different direction a sense of cynicism that, well, just everything is terrible and nothing really matters. So why are we even trying? Why don't we just prioritize our own mental health and do what works for us and not really worry about it? This kind of sense that because we're in a pandemic, nothing really matters. And everything that I just said, I believe in the first part of this show, is true, but it doesn't follow that nothing matters, right? We are in a pandemic. A lot of what we normally care about just isn't going to make that much of a difference right now. But that doesn't mean that nothing matters. It means the essentials matter more than ever, that we've got to get the big things right. We've got to get the essentials that are making the biggest difference, that 20% of our efforts that are making the biggest difference for our students. We've got to get that part right. Because if we don't, then most of our other effort will be wasted and our impact will dwindle dramatically. So I'm not saying that we don't need to really be thoughtful, that we don't need to care. I am saying that we don't need to stress maybe in exactly the ways that people are stressing. So a couple of big ideas for you in terms of this. We're in a pandemic. Can't you have grace for people? Can't you let things slide? I think, of course, we've got to understand the stress that people are under. We've got to make sure that we're not being picky about things that don't matter. We've got to make sure that we're not being petty about little things that we should just let slide and not worry about. Like, let's pick our battles here for sure. But we do need to think about what is going to stick with students and what is going to stick with teachers long term, right? This is not the time to be super picky about paperwork and deadlines and the littler aspects of the job that don't matter so much. We've got to care about people first and foremost. We've got to put our students first, and we've got to put our staff first, and we've got to put ourselves as a higher priority than a lot of the busy work that normally keeps us working long hours. So we've got to have grace. We've got to understand the stress that people are under. But at the same time, we've got to uphold ethical standards. And I believe that those don't change just because we're in a pandemic. I think what got me thinking about this in the last couple of weeks is that we had an email from one of our members that was very thoughtful, a question that was sent in, I think as part of our Reconnect PLN that we've got going on right now, who said, I feel like I've kind of given people too much grace. She said, you know, I started in the previous school year and then that was interrupted during the pandemic. So this is, you know, I've never really had a full school year as principal in the school. And I've given people too much grace the first semester this year, and I know it'll get tough before it gets easier, but I've got to do what's best for kids. So the idea here, the question here is, how do I hold people to high ethical standards, to high professional standards, without being picky, without being petty, without being a micromanager? How do we focus on those priorities without burning people out, without making people say, ugh, he's such a jerk. Why doesn't he get the stress that we're under? Like, how do we balance these concerns? And certainly we do have to realize that people are under a great deal of stress, right? These are not ideal conditions for teaching and learning, as we've said. And simply asking more of people, demanding that people work harder, will not necessarily make learning improve for students. There's just not going to be an impact from some of that kind of driving people harder. But on the other hand, look, in most cases, everybody's still getting paid. And that is not true for a lot of our students' parents. That is not true for a lot of people in our economy. Look, if you're getting a paycheck, if teachers are getting a paycheck, we are doing much better than everybody else. So we've got to kind of recognize the position that we're in and not be seen as taking advantage of that. And this is not our fault, but that investment that the public is making, that parents are making, that taxpayers are making in student learning, you know, in supporting teacher and administrator salaries, is not producing as much in terms of student learning as it normally would. Again, not really our fault. I mean, it's just a factor of the circumstances. But we really, really have to be careful about ethical lapses when it comes to that dynamic of, hey, you're still getting paid, you're not, you know, especially if schools are not open in person and parents are feeling like they have to bear the extra burden of virtual learning, then boy, that is going to come back to bite us. That is going to have a long-term impact when it comes to things like levies, when it comes to things like elections, when it comes to things like support for teachers in the community. And when people within a team or within a school slack off, it affects the morale of the whole school. So I think we've got to really look at this from the perspective of our reputation as a profession to the broader society. The way that society looks as educators, that's a very important reason not to let some of these ethical things go. And when it comes to the morale and the standards and the culture of an organization or a team, we've got to be careful not to allow, you know, kind of one bad apple to get everybody off kilter. To kind of mix some metaphors. So how can we do that? I think a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves are, well, what standards can we hold ourselves to? We're gonna let some things go. We're gonna relax the timelines or the paperwork. We're gonna kind of make things easier for people to kind of survive with. But what do we need to hold ourselves to? Maybe we're gonna have a meaningful learning activity every day. Maybe we're not gonna have 12 learning activities every day, but maybe we're gonna have something that connects with students. You know, like, you decide for your school, what is that standard that we can hold ourselves to? What have we promised our parents and students that we'll do? And can we keep that commitment with fidelity? But also, what's reasonable given the conditions? Again, we don't need to do that extra 80% that's only going to produce the 20% of results. We can let things go. We do not have to do a virtual version of everything that we did during the regular school year. You don't have to have a virtual assembly every Friday. You know, we don't have to just kind of replicate everything in the virtual world because we don't need to. It's not going to make a difference. What is going to make a difference for student learning? We double down on those things. Then when it comes to giving people grace, again, I think a lot of this comes down to lowering the expectation of perfection, stepping away from that, telling people, look, do not bust your tail trying to get every last detail of this right. Get the big idea, get the main idea, get the general concept squared away, and don't fuss so much about those last few details. We've also got to have empathy when it comes to people's challenging circumstances. You know, if you have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old in your house and you're trying to teach, that is extremely difficult. I don't care how much you're getting paid. I don't care how nice it is not to have to commute. There are some extremely difficult personal circumstances that people are in just based on, you know, their individual circumstances. And not to say kids are the only one. There are lots of different challenging circumstances. And as leaders, it's critical that we have empathy for those circumstances. And I think one way we can show that empathy is to simply be flexible, to be understanding, to not be too much of a stickler about timelines and, again, paperwork. We've got to just be human, right? We've got to be compassionate toward other people. We've got to encourage people to prioritize. We've got to model that in the way that we prioritize. And I think a good message to send to people is let's try to do less but better. We do not have to do all the things we've always done. Let's do the things that will make the most difference and not worry so much about the rest. But sometimes I think it's helpful for people to have a very clear illustration of what you're talking about when it comes to what we're letting slide and what we're not. Because I'm seeing, okay, here's why we're doing this show today. I am seeing a lot of sloppy thinking and sloppy moral reasoning when it comes to what we can let slide and what we can't. And this is putting administrators in very, very difficult circumstances when it comes to the reputation of their school, when it comes to the morale of their teams. For example, have you seen the stories about teachers being in a Zoom meeting and vaping on camera in the Zoom meeting, or smoking on camera in the Zoom meeting? Or last summer, it was attending staff meetings shirtless at the pool drinking a beer. And it's like, come on, guys, come on. We can't do that. We can't act that way and expect to be treated and paid as professionals. So I think it's helpful to give people examples of what's okay and what's not okay. And the grace can be built in there, the slack can be built in there without causing the problems that a lack of boundaries or a lack of ethics or professionalism can cause. So you might say, okay, look, we've got to talk about virtual meetings and how, you know, what is okay and what's not okay in those. I know people in this school would never do anything like the list on the left, but I am hearing some things that are happening in other schools and it's causing a lot of embarrassment. So just to be clear, in our school, it is, you know, expected that you attend all of the required meetings. If your power goes out, obviously we don't have that expectation. Do what you can to stay warm and so forth. But it is not okay to skip a meeting simply because some people are missing a meeting because their power is out. That does not mean it's okay to miss a meeting just because you feel like it and just not show up and just abandon your team and leave other people wondering where you are. It is okay to wear a nice shirt and sweatpants or shorts or whatever you like to wear in your house. It does not affect the quality of your work. It does not affect other people. So wear comfy pants if you want to, a professional top, and you're good to go. It is not okay to teach from bed. It is not okay to not be dressed. And again, I wouldn't say this, except it started happening last year. And there were a lot of pretty embarrassing stories out there about people who basically had to be told, no, like you have to put a shirt on to teach. You can't attend a faculty meeting in your swimming trunks. Come on. Turning your webcam off to deal with your kids is okay if they run in the room. You don't want to cause a distraction to the rest of the meeting participants while you deal with whatever situation's going on with your family. But it's not okay to turn off your camera just so you can play video games or smoke or drink a beer or do that with the camera on, either way. So sometimes people actually need to be told, and it can be kind of fun almost to give some of those examples just to reinforce that, you know, people would never do those kinds of things that are on the list on the left. And at the same time, the people who maybe were starting to kind of let those things slide, they will get the message that they need to. Two specific examples that I want to share now come under the heading of what I consider pretty clear ethics and policy violations. And I wanted to mention these because people were making to me, very alarming arguments that these things did not matter and that it was fine because we're in a pandemic. So I want to give two examples here where I think we have some pretty clear, there was more context that was explained in other comments that I'm not including here, but I want to explain these and kind of my thinking on the ethical matters. The first one was where a teacher had gone on, I guess they had probably a three-day weekend for Valentine's Day, and had gone to the beach, and then decided to extend their vacation into Monday, spend Monday on the beach, and yet called in sick. Actually said, I'm ill, I cannot come to work today, please find me a sub, I'm so sorry, I'll be there later. Posted on social media their beautiful pictures from the beach and their clear explanation that no, they were in fact not sick, they were enjoying some additional vacation. That, my friends, is not okay. It is not okay to lie and to steal a sick day from your organization and turn it into a vacation day and leave the rest of your colleagues to cover for you and to say, well, we didn't have enough subs to go around today, so we had to double up classes and there were 80 kids in PE with your class and they didn't have any lesson plans and people had to cover during their prep period and administrators had to cover. That kind of stuff, my friends, is not okay. And it's not okay to excuse that kind of behavior simply because we're in a pandemic and, oh, everybody needs to take care of them. Like, that is not self-care. I'm sorry. Going on vacation and calling in sick and leaving your school, your students, your colleagues high and dry to pick up the pieces is not self-care. It is not mental health to do that. It is unprofessional. It is unethical. So I saw people defending that kind of behavior, and I just had to say, and honestly, it was a lot of people. There were some very strong kind of mixed feelings about this situation, but the facts of the situation were very clear. There is a clear policy against using sick days for vacation. The person posted pictures on social media saying that they were at the beach, that they were not sick. And I gotta say, that is not okay. So we have got to uphold our ethical guidelines. We've got to uphold our district policies. Hopefully you have a policy in place that makes it clear whether that's okay. And it seemed to me that a lot of people who didn't have a problem with this were just not clear on what their policies were. So get clear if you are not sure. And if there's not a policy in place, this is really critical. If there's not a policy in place and you feel very strongly about something, be aware that that may not be enough. You may need to let some things slide if there's not a policy in place and just say, look, I don't feel that this is right. There are not going to be disciplinary consequences because, you know, it turns out we don't have a policy on this, but I think we need to put one in place. And it's my expectation that if you are using a sick day, you need to actually need that sick day. This is not for vacation. So whatever the conversation is, check your policy first and just be careful about that because it seems like a lot of people don't know their policies. The second situation that really put me over the edge in needing to talk about this and needing to share a framework for thinking about these issues was about tutoring. And this particular school has a shortened school day so that there's more prep time for virtual learning and more time to meet with students individually on a virtual basis. So this particular situation, we had two different staff members, a teacher and an aide, stopping their work for the school during that period when students had been sent home, but teachers were still kind of on the clock so that they could have prep time and work time for tutoring individual students. They were actually not doing that. They were actually charging parents to tutor individual students during their contracted work day. And there were a lot of comments in support of the principal here saying, like, this is not okay. That's a violation of our contract. People can get fired for that. You can lose your license for that and so forth. And yet there were also some comments along the lines of, hey, we're in a pandemic. Why don't you just not worry about it? Why don't you let it go? And I think the hey, we're in a pandemic reaction does justify the grace. It does justify the humanity and the understanding. But hear me on this. Being in a pandemic does not make it okay to do things that are unethical. It does not make it okay to steal. So let's go ahead and be specific about what is and what is not okay in a pandemic. It's not okay to just ignore policy. You know, if the policy is you have to actually be sick to use a sick day, that's still the policy in a pandemic. We all need to take care of ourselves, but that doesn't change the policy. Stealing is still stealing. If you are on the clock and then also charging parents and taking, no double dipping. I think, Jennifer, that's the right way to say it. There should not be double dipping. Stealing is still stealing. Double dipping is double dipping. One of the other factors in the tutoring situation that I didn't share, but that was in a different comment, was that the parents had been told, don't let the administrators find out because they won't be happy about this. The parents were paying the teacher to provide private tutoring for their child, but being told, don't tell the administrators. Okay, so like clearly something is off here. I do think as part of the grace aspect of this, that people do deserve a conversation before consequences. And most likely this just has not come up and people have not been thinking about it. They do not need to be necessarily punished before they are informed that what they're doing is not okay. So I think conversation before consequences, you know, give people a chance to do the right thing to make it right. And I don't think there's a need to be especially punitive, but we do have to kind of draw a line. Because if we don't draw a line, ignoring something that is not okay, that's continuing to happen, will have a couple of different consequences. First of all, it will allow the behavior to spread. If one person is doing it, two people will do it, and 10 people will do it, and then we've got a pretty big problem on our hands. Second, not only does it spread, it also undermines your credibility and really can kind of frustrate and alienate people who are doing the right thing. If they see their colleagues getting away with doing the wrong thing, that is awful for morale. And I want to just briefly address morale in closing here, because I saw a lot of comments to the effect that, you know, you caring about this, you having standards, you noticing that your teacher called in sick is actually at the beach and not sick, you noticing is just a sign of a toxic culture in your school. Why don't you leave your teachers alone? Why don't you stop snooping on them? And, you know, certainly we've all got better things to do than monitor every teacher's social media. Like, I don't think that's the position that we want to be in. But if something comes to your attention, that's different, right? When you know something and don't act on it, when information has been brought to you, when parents are coming to you and saying, hey, I think so-and-so is tutoring this other kid and getting, you know, like they're not really available to help their own class. Like, when people know that you know, you are in a very difficult situation if you do not act. You've got to act in that situation. So we've got to really kind of keep an eye on these things. Again, I don't think we need to, you know, to really bring the hammer down on people. I think this is a conversation. I think this is a clarification. And then, of course, if the problem continues, then maybe that becomes an HR issue. But I think for the most part, when we're upholding those standards, it is a conversation. And that's probably all it will take. To kind of circle back to some fundamentals, I think what this is all about ultimately is about information and relationships. And when we have information, we've got to act accordingly. We've got to use that information to make good decisions. And we have to remember that we're not just making decisions in the abstract, right? We're making decisions in relationship with other people and knowing that those people are in relationship with one another. So even if something maybe doesn't bother me all that much, but I see it's going to have kind of a toxic effect on the rest of the team, if that person gets away with it, you know, there are times when we may have to step up and say, you know what, this has to stop, even if I would rather let it go. We also have to keep in mind that, look, we are all going to hopefully continue to be working together after this pandemic thing is all over, and relationships matter. Right? The way that we approach people, the grace that we give people, the tone that we approach people with matters. And that's going to stick with people much more than any specific thing that we say or do. You know, people will remember the way that you make them feel. So that doesn't mean that we let unethical things slide, but it does mean that we prioritize that relationship and we prioritize how we're making people feel. All right, that is it for this episode of the Instructional Leadership Show. This has been episode 95. I'm Justin Bader, and I will catch you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in.